I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And we are very happy to be welcoming someone to our studios. I don't think he's been here before. His name is Dan Tedesco. Welcome, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. And he's got a show tonight at Fitger's Brewhouse in Duluth at 10 o'clock. And we're going to find out more about you in a minute, Dan, but why don't you get started with a song?
Yeah, I'll do something off my current record. This is a song called Closing for the Season. Mama, can you hear my cry? You know I'm too young to die, and the spark's still in my eye. But something's coming down on me, like the doors of that factory, the first leaf falling from the tree. And the boss called us for a meeting, promising the reason. Closing for the season. And I remember that parking lot, never had an empty spot. Now it's just going to ride. And they'll be down there at the bar tonight, for a drink or for a fight. Tell me, brother, do you got a light? We're all slowly freezing. Will the thaw relieve? I'm closing for the season. By a distant whistle whine, tales from my father's time, of when a man could earn his keep and when a man could earn his sleep. Now we're just counting sheep. We're trying to believe a thaw will relieve. I'm closing for the season. Trying to believe a thaw will relieve. I'm closing for the season.
That's Dan Tedesco live from Studio A, and you said that's from your latest album, which is Death in the Valley, is
that
right? And that came out last year?
That came out last February.
Okay, and that was your third album, is that right?
That is correct.
All right.
You've done your research.
I can read the website. I was reading an interview with you, and you were talking about that album maybe being a little bit different for you as far as... it was more you than
right.
Just you than some of your previous stuff. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think probably figuratively and literally.
Oh, okay.
That's probably pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first two albums I put out, which I'm proud of everything I've done, but as far as sort of the growth and maturity of my own voice, you know, as a artistic voice, seems to have finally sort of come into the light a little bit on this current album, more so than the first two. And I think that's pretty typical. I mean, most people that I have followed and that I look up to, if you go back and look at how they started, usually the first couple records are, here's all the people that we love and the people that have kind of inspired us to be where we are. You get into the third or fourth album, and usually if they're still doing it at that point, things have kind of, they've written out of all those influences, and you start to really get more of their direct voice. So that's definitely happened, and something I'm pretty excited about. It's been quite a journey to get to that point.
Well, and also going from working more with a band to doing that's, more solo stuff, which right. usually people do the opposite.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
I found that very interesting because, and you were talking about in this thing that I read, you were talking about, you know, consciously working on the nuances of how to bring a song across on your own.
Yeah.
Because it can be, it's a lot easier sometimes with a band because you've got somebody to cover and draw attention and
right.
you
and,
don't have to carry the whole load yourself. So how do you go about that?
Also, the songs have to be better because bad songs you can mm-hmm. get by mm-hmm. with, you know, and I've written plenty of them that, you know, if with a big band or even just a few other people, that can be enough of a support to make a song that doesn't really have that much going on still kind of fly. But when you're playing in a solo format, things have to be you've got to be saying something and doing something because there's not anything to cover it up or distract people. So, I mean, how you go about actually doing that, that's part of the magic of it all, I guess, really. You know, you have to write a lot and not be afraid to go out and play by yourself. You know, I mean, I started out even before I had a band playing solo, and I, you know, I did a bazillion open mics and played just about every kind of gig that you could play, just to get the experience of being out in front of people, you know, and you, you learn what connects and what doesn't, and you learn about how to write just from doing it and listening to other people and studying it and doing it over and over again. It's just like exercising a muscle, you know, like any kind of artistic, pursuit. And, you hope that you arrive at something that's worth something at the end of it all. So, mm-hmm.
Now you're based in Iowa City right now, but
Des Moines.
Oh, actually, Des Moines. Okay, but you're not from those parts.
I've kind of kicked around. I'm originally from outside of Chicago, and I went to college in Arizona, then I moved to L.A., then I moved to Chicago, then I moved to Nashville, and then I moved to Des Moines. So,
You were playing music in all of these places?
Yeah.
Because that sounds like some very interesting contrasts musically.
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey, which I wouldn't trade any of it. You know, I mean, it's led me to some pretty interesting places, and I've met some pretty interesting people. You know, it's where a lot of the songs come from.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, when I first moved to when I went to Arizona, I was going to school for music, so there was that. And I got into songwriting and singing and all that because I was always just a guitar player growing up. I played piano and some other instruments, but mainly it was a guitar player. So in college, I got my ear tuned in a bit better, having gone to music school. And probably the best thing I got out of the time I spent there was just getting my ear really, really tight and being able to hear things. And that led to me actually being able to sing, you know, 'cause I could finally hear everything really, really well. So that began my sort of movement into being more on the songwriting side of the equation. And from Arizona, when I graduated, I never really had much of a desire to go to LA or anything, but I had a number of friends that were like, you know, you should probably just go check it out at least before, you know, maybe you move somewhere else further away and it's not as easy to get there because it's only like 5.5 hours from Phoenix. So I did, and I was just going to go and stay with my buddy for a couple weeks and hang out on his couch and just check out what was happening. And that just led to me being there for like a year and a half and getting an apartment and the whole thing and kind of living there for a little while. And I had to get an office job when I lived out there because it was too expensive. And I was playing music, but, you know, it's hard to make money in a city that big and that saturated with musicians. So I had to have my office gig, and then I'd go out and play at night and come back super late and then have to get up super early to go to work. And it was a nasty equation that eventually started to equal me being fired from my job. And so I beat them to the punch and quit before anything got really bad and just figured out what I could try to figure out a plan that would let me, you know, be making a living playing. And that's why I moved back to Chicago at that point. And everything from that point on has really just kind of been a derivative of that move. So, and it's led me here to KUMD.
Wow, wonderful. Let's hear another one. What do you want to
sure.
do next?
Let's see here. Let's fix this.
yeah, you were dropping your string while you were playing there for that effect. Now you got to fix it. Sounds great on the song, though.
good. Let's see, you know, I don't... I don't do this one on the radio a whole bunch, but this would be fun to do today. This is a song called The Truce. And this is, I guess, goes out to the fact that nothing in this in life is guaranteed, and that tomorrow doesn't happen until the sun comes up. So you can't take it for granted. And got to be good to one another. So here we go. It's called The Truce.
Well, I stand here naked in the evening light. I drop my fists, I ain't gonna fight. Now watch you run right out of breath as you try to beat me to death. But the words in vain of pain like rain that stains the sunshine in my veins and pulverize and paralyze, but never fully realize that motivation or aggravation, a soulful sensation, salvation that you frantically defend. So why not make a truce, my friend? Keep on your peaceful way, 'cause we are both gonna die someday. And I know you're feeling out of place, like you've been dealt a card with a one-off face. But don't forget that I ain't to blame, to frame, to maim, or to entertain. I'm sorry that you're feeling so blue, but everyone's got their demons too. The steps you take are yours to choose, so clean the mud off of your shoes and don't come crash and bash me out. Cash or hash or lash me out, 'cause you only get so much to spend. So recall our old truce, my friend, keep on your peaceful way, 'cause we are both gonna die someday. Fiery words of hate for another day and another date. Make haste and look in your mirror now. There's no time to waste, so take a bow from the limelight on the center stage and tape up the battered, tattered page. Put that book back up on the shelf and go try digging on something else. Should on the street we ever again meet, of me trying not to beat or defeat, 'cause you only get so much to spend. So recall our old truce, my friend, keep on your peaceful way. As we are both gonna die someday. We'll be right back.
That's Dan Tedesco live from Studio A. And now, was that one from your recent album as well?
It is as well, yep.
Okay. So that one's been out for a little while, right?
Yep, just about just a little over a year.
Oh, okay, and how long have you been in Iowa now?
I have been living there. It'll be just about a year. I actually moved there last May, so up on a year.
So did you did the album before you got there?
Yep, that record was actually recorded in Lexington, Kentucky. And it was done in late 2012, and then I was shopping it around and doing different things with it throughout 2013, and then, like I said, released it last February. So it's an interesting thing for me because now some of those songs are like 3-4 years old, and I've written all this other stuff since then, but that's kind of the way album cycles work sometimes. So
right.
I'm hoping to put something out later this year.
And well, I was going to say, you probably have quite a few things in the pipeline from that. And are you playing? Is it nice to be able to work them out though in shows?
For sure.
Because you know, sometimes if you have all the songs ready and you haven't had a lot of time to play them for people, they change sometimes.
Yeah, it totally does. And honestly, I mean, even on record, from the time I recorded this current record till now, I've worked out all kinds of other arrangements of even those songs just from playing them in different environments, you know, that kind of thing that affects how you play them, how you think about them, what they mean to you, all that stuff never really is ever set in stone. You know, it's pretty liquid. So depending on the situation, you can go a lot of different directions with it. And so when you have a bunch of new songs, it is definitely nice for me from an artistic perspective to have those different environments to try it out in, and also just to see if they even mean anything to anybody, or if I'm just, you know, just to get some feedback as to whether it's something I should even care about. So, you know, there's that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to have that opportunity to do that. Now, do you sometimes find that songs that you're kind of iffy about, people respond to, and vice versa, songs that are near and dear to your heart?
Oh, sure.
You know?
I think there's this classic discrepancy that I've seen, and not just with myself, but also just reading about other artists. For whatever reason, it always seems like the songs that you sort of slave over the most oftentimes are not the ones that people respond to the most aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that you feel like you barely did anything and you didn't even really try, and it's like, this is kind of a joke, just throw this out, are the ones that people are like, no, wait, that's the one, you know? So you never, it's just such a crazy, crazy thing to try to get to really have your finger on that pulse, because you just, beyond a certain extent, you really don't know what people are going to do with it, you know.
So what's it been like in Iowa? Do you play a lot around there, or do you mostly just tour from there? Like, you're on a tour right now for a few weeks, right?
Yep. I would say predominantly I'm usually on tour. I mean, in Des Moines, in this last year since I moved there, I've probably done like maybe 2 or 3 shows. I don't usually do more than about 3 or 4 in town a year, just so that I can make them big events and kind of build it up. And I've got other places to go, so I fill all those gaps in between with my time on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And also being kind of a new guy in town, I'm still getting my network built with other opportunities in towns besides just like the club dates, you know, trying to get in more with some of the different concert series and festivals that go on throughout the summer. And those kinds of things would get me, probably have me a little bit busier once I get more into that rotation. But as far as just standard sort of club showcase events, that's probably 3 or 4 times a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we should mention that what brought you there, your wife got
that's
a job there, right?
So, that's right.
because you've named all these different places, so I just want to let people know how that one fits in there. It might not seem like, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people, they do, especially when I'm on tour, I think they assume that I live somewhere like a little more predictable, you know, for a musician, like places I've lived, like Nashville or Chicago or L.A. or Austin or New York. And I've always sort of liked being the guy that is doing the unexpected. I'm pretty comfortable in that position. So, and I like being somewhere that's not your standard kind of industry town. I mean, I've done that before, so I know what it feels like, and it's nice to be somewhere that's quote unquote normal relative to what I do.
And what kind of music scene is there? And because I think sometimes people might be surprised at the kinds of music scenes that happen in different places.
Yeah.
You know, like we are pretty proud of ours here in Duluth.
Sure.
But it might not be as known as, you know.
I would say Des Moines probably falls somewhere in that category.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not from there originally. I've only been there for a little bit of time. as far as living there full time. But I think there's some really cool things going on in that town. There's a pretty wide range of genres. It's about at least a handful of really pretty happening music venues. They've got more, like they just added another festival this summer called Hinterland. That's going to have, I can't remember off the top of my head all the headliners, but it's all pretty big stuff. I think Old Crow Medicine Show is headlining one night. I can't remember who the other ones are right now. But they're bringing, I mean, my point in saying that is just they're bringing in big name stuff that's requires a pretty significant budget to put on. So there's the support there for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I only see it going, continuing to go in that direction. That the city in general has some pretty positive things happening right now. I wasn't totally sure what to expect when I moved there. I mean, I've been going there off and on for the last handful of years, but it's a pretty positive place to be just because people are open to new ideas and pretty excited about building what they can build, you know, whereas I've always lived in older cities that are more set in their way. Not that that's a bad thing, but it's just a different dynamic. And mm-hmm. It's nice to be around something a little bit more fresh for me right now.
Well, it's good to know. Well, we have time for one more. What do you want to finish with here?
Well, let's do the I'll do the title track. So this is called Death in the Valley. Now the fields have been scorched, and the forests have been torched, and the screams from companions, well, they drift through the canyons beneath the sun. Well, they're loading their guns and they're taking their aim, but they ain't taking no blame for this death in the valley. Death in the valley. Can the blood and the bone spark a rally against this death in the valley? And the folks left stranded in the bodies scattered down the street. In this prison of dust, the working man's hands gone to rust. Away up high on the hill, about the kill, we're drinking whiskey and wine in the pale moonshine of this death in the valley. The death valley. Can the blood and the bone spark a rally against this death in the valley? 'Cause every year the valley grows deeper and the hillside grows steeper. They blow stronger, the shadows grow longer, we will grow older, will we grow colder,
grow kinder instead of harder, and instead of farther and farther and farther and farther and farther on into this death in the valley, the death in the valley. Can the blood and the bone sparkle rally against this death in the valley?
That's Dan Tedesco live from Studio A, title track from his most recent album. Well, thank you so much, Dan.
Thanks so much for having me.
And he is playing tonight at Fitger's Brewhouse in Duluth. Show starts at 10 o'clock. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Aaron Welch. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.